and welcome to the second episode of Role Models, a joint venture between Speed Cafe and Authentic Collectibles. My name is Andrew Van Leeuwen. I'm the editorial director at Speed Cafe, and I'm joined by an old mate, William Hall, who is the owner and founder of Authentic. Will, we've made it to episode two.
We have.
How are you this week?
Who would have thought we would have made it to episode two? I'm pretty good this week.
Who would have thought we made it for this thing that we do ourselves?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's a bit warm in here, though. This doesn't feel like my office.
It doesn't feel like your office, your lovely air-conditioned office. We are, as keen-eyed observers from the first episode will notice, we are at a different location this time around. The toys here are slightly bigger than they are at Will's office.
Way bigger, way cooler.
Yeah, we are at Jason Pride Motorsport in Serpentine here in WA. There's a very good reason. They run a whole bunch of sprint cars and Trans Am and all sorts of cool stuff out of the workshop here. There's a very fun reason that we're here that we're going to get onto in the not too distant future. Just a quick note to say thanks for all the feedback on the first episode of this podcast. It really was greatly appreciated. A little bit of housekeeping, given that we are still in just the second episode. Don't forget to keep an eye out for the code word that will appear at some point. You need to comment on this video with something fun, something that makes Will laugh, because he's the guy that will decide whether you get a $200 gift card, which is a pretty cool prize.
The funnier the better. You can also suck up to me. I'm quite happy with that. Words of praise, bribery, I'm down for all of that.
Just money under the table.
Money under the table.
Cash money.
Cash money.
Business. We all need some at the moment. The winner of the code word comp from the first episode was Anthony Morgan. So we'll be in touch with you about that.
Congratulations, Anthony.
Yep, congratulations, Anthony. So let's crack on with some of the stuff we're going to be talking about this time around. What have we got going on, Will?
Well, I mean, we should start with the reason we're here.
Correct.
Would that be a good start?
Sure.
We're making sprint cars.
That's so cool.
Shock horror. That's the fact that there's one sitting there, there's one sitting there, there's a few around here, sitting up there.
Yeah.
Sprint cars. How cool.
That is really cool. I'm fairly new to the Speedway scene through my friend Jason Pride, to be honest here. But man, I love it. And I think that it's such a when you kind of brought the idea to me, you went, hey, do you reckon we should make sprint cars? I was like, yes, please, definitely that, because they're just insanely cool cars.
Well, I think we both grew up with Claremont. Correct. Speedway being a big part of our lives with our older men in our lives.
Yep.
Spending a lot of time at the Speedway. Mm-hmm. Then kind of you and I drifted away from it a little bit.
I spent years not really paying that much attention to it, to be honest.
We decided that we'd stay clean and not get dirty and do the circuit thing.
Yeah. But to stay away from walls when I can as well. It's a bit hard in the sprint car world.
They do seem to love the walls. There's plenty of broken wings on the walls around here as well, which we tend to try and not do that in our chosen profession. So sprint cars, something kind of new for our industry. Mm-hmm. In Australia, no model car company in Australia has done them before.
Yep.
There's been plenty of sort of the imported ones from the States and what have you, but to have a focus on the Australian industry, I think it's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
So first three models that we've announced is Tim Hodges Motorsport, McFadden's Napa Auto Parts sprint car that he had last year for his tilt at the Classic. Cam Waters, obviously, friend of the show, friend of ours, Cam Waters.
Becoming quite the good sprint car driver as well.
Very, very good sprint
car. Getting
his
head around that fairly quickly.
I mean, he's all right, supercar as well. But,
we won't talk about Bathurst then.
Sorry, Cam. We'll get to that. So his sprint car as well, and obviously Jason's.
Yeah.
Jace has helped us immensely getting this program up and running. Obviously, being in WA and our business in WA, it's a bit hard to get over to the eastern states. It's not that hard to get to the eastern states, but it's a lot easier to drive to Serpentine, I can tell you.
Yeah.
So to have his involvement's been fantastic. So sprint cars, something really cool.
That's exciting. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll chat about some more stuff.
Sounds good.
All right, while we're talking about cool stuff that Authentic has on the go at the moment, I've spied something just over here.
When you say just?
It's about 4,000 kilometres over here.
That seems like a short walk.
That I think is pretty cool. Let's take a wander and go and have a look at it.
All right, let's go and have a look.
Okay, William, just like magic, we are now in the National Motor Racing Museum in Bathurst. This is actually just an insanely cool place anyway, but like...
Who would have thought Pridey's workshop was this big?
I know. It's
crazy. It's amazing, isn't it?
That's right. It's not quite a museum in there.
Not quite.
So, no, we are in Bathurst. We're sitting in front of the 1984 Bathurst 1000 race-winning car. This is something you guys have made a series of models on. Tell us a bit about that. Obviously, just cool cars, super exciting. Tell us a bit about it.
Cool cars. So, 1/12 scale, 1/43 scale, both the 0.5 car and the 25 car. Mm-hmm. So, if you're going to do one, it makes sense to do both.
Correct.
So, huge 1/12 scale to fulfill the 43rd collectors, mm-hmm. the holes in some of their collections as well, because everyone collects their Bathurst winner collections in all their scales. So, make sure we fill the 43rd void as well.
I guess when you're making models of modern supercars, you've got a fairly similar template to work with team to team when you're working with Ford teams and GM teams. Tell us a bit about the process of making these more unique cars.
So obviously we don't have access to CAD data back mm-hmm. for cars of this ilk. So we've actually 3D scanned this car.
Yeah.
So Brad very kindly let us steal it for a few hours and 3D scan it at the same time as we scanned the Bluebird, which is just hiding over Grant's shoulder over there.
Mm-hmm.
So we scanned both cars a couple of years ago. So they're as accurate as we can possibly make them. Because
mm-hmm.
they're basically now in 3D world with a full 3D scan.
Another challenge, I guess, of these older style models, we're sitting very strategically here covering up some signage on the car.
And trying to suck our guts in.
Yeah, correct. So how does it work? Obviously, tobacco advertising isn't allowed in modern motor racing. I mean, there's no chance someone's going to find some stickers in the bottom of that box, is there?
I can't imagine there's any chance that anyone's going to find any stickers in the bottom of any boxes. All but right. It's definitely one of those things, the cars, we just simply can't produce them, or it is our understanding mm-hmm. that we can't produce them with the naughty words, as mm-hmm. we like to refer to them as, on the sides and on the bonnet. But it's a real shame. But the law's the law. And until it gets tested in a court of law, which I'm not keen on finding out, we make them naked, and our collectors at home can do with the models how they wish.
Well, just say that. Pro tip: check everything in the box before you throw everything out. I reckon. If I was buying one of these models, that's exactly what I would be doing. Anything else you want to tell us about?
We forgot our beers.
Ah, yes.
We'll go back and get our beers.
Oh, that was a hell of a walk.
Yeah. It's good to get the shorts back on after having to wear the jeans in New South Wales over there.
It's a bit cooler over there than it is here today. We should really thank Brad at the National Motor Racing Museum for letting us interrupt his day, barge in and annoy everyone at the museum for an hour or so while we...
It's actually insane to have access like that to a car like that. Not just the access you got to make the model, but to be able to walk in there and just... Yeah. Sit down next to that race car.
I had the keys in my hand there for a minute. I had the actual keys to the 84 Bathurst winner in my hand.
It's such an easy thing to kind of take for granted, but something that we should just always sit back and go, wow.
Always remember that. It's unreal. It's there and it's amazing. Yeah. And to have a piece of history like that, I mean, how many Bathurst winners are long gone?
Yeah.
Or you know, were butchered along the way or something, but that thing sitting there as it finished. Amazing.
Amazing. Even better to own a model of it, I reckon.
Well, yes, exactly right.
Couldn't have timed that statement better.
Goodness me. It's a boy.
I think that's the perfect time to take a short break. We'll be back in one moment. All right, Will, let's have a bit of a chat about what's been going on in the motor racing world, because it's been about a month since we had a chat.
And boy, there's been some...
What a month.
Yeah.
You think 1 month is hard to beat, and then another month comes along. And
oh boy, oh boy.
There's plenty going on. So we've actually had some motor racing since we last chatted.
Wouldn't read about it.
I know, which is pretty good. I tell you what, I reckon you want to have a Red Bull sticker on the side of your car this year in either supercars or Formula One, because the two Red Bull backed, well, one Red Bull owned and one Red Bull backed team made pretty fast starts to the season. What was your take on the Bathurst 500? I got to be honest, I reckon I reckon Will Brown made a slightly faster start to the season than some, myself including, were perhaps predicting.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He certainly came out of the blocks, didn't he?
Yeah.
We sort of thought that Feeney might have, you know, Feeney being there for a little bit longer.
Yeah, and being the golden child.
Golden child.
In Will, the 88.
Will coming in, like, might have just taken Will a couple of race meetings at least just to get his eye in.
Yeah.
Certainly didn't, did it?
Not really. I think those cars are pretty sharp. I think
Do we think that it's kind of a Bathurst centric kind of situation? Once we get to the AGP, do we see it all going upside down and tipped the other way, or are we just expecting?
Geez, I hope you're right.
God, I hope I'm right.
I hope you're right. I'm not sure. I'm not.
I have eternal hope that certainly in AGP land for supercars might be a slightly different story than round one. When they get to Jeddah for F1, I don't think that's going to be any different.
Nah, they can.
I think those Red Bulls are
just give Max all the trophies. Yep. I think that front.
Call it. Start
unfortunately,
next year,
yeah, kind of interesting, I guess, where the rest of it filters out a little bit. Like, it's so easy to look at, like, you know, Oscar finishing eighth, Lando finishing sixth, and go, oh, that's a bit disappointing. They probably are like locked in a battle with Mercedes over being the third or fourth best team, McLaren. But this time last year, like, I mean, they had all sorts of dramas in Bahrain.
Yeah.
Oscar snuck into Q3 in Jeddah, I think it was, where he snuck into Q3. But, like, they were in all sorts. Yeah. So we should at least go, hey, they're starting off a much better base than they were a year ago.
Well, and it's sort of – McLaren really is the only one that seems to have – you know, certainly from the beginning of last year to where we are now, McLaren obviously made that massive step mid-year last year.
Yeah.
And they've kind of stayed there with that gain.
Yeah.
No one's jumped the shark and kind of climbed higher than McLaren probably naturally should have fallen into that.
Yeah,
they've
probably settled back into the. I guess it's just the expectations were that they ended last season
so good. Yeah.
Like probably the team that looked most likely to give Red Bull a headache, and now they're probably back to scrapping it out with Mercedes, while Ferrari is that next in line, even if there's quite a decent deficit to that.
They keep saying too that, you know, Bahrain, it's so different. It's a bit of an outlier in terms of a circuit. Again, obviously excluding car one that's off in the distance, but sort of everyone else it might. Jeddah again, a little bit different. AGP again, a little bit different. And then it'll kind of start to settle out.
I keep thinking back to last year in Singapore and just being like, was there a parity trigger Red Bull didn't want to set off? Like, why did that happen?
the old 10 races or something. It wasn't our 5 races back on.
What on earth happened there? It's weird, it seems so weird that car just died, you know, in the backside and then came raging back.
And if anything, Ferrari seemed as weird as it is to say when they're 30 seconds off the pace or something on race distance, but they're closer than they were last year.
Yeah.
So maybe it does bring those Singapore races into play.
We've made massive gains compared to the year before,
but it's still only third place, isn't it?
Kind of scary. And even with all the instability in that team, you know, at the end of the day, the wind tunnel work's done. The wings are on the car. The stuff that's coming up in 3 races' time is already, it's already in the printer. It's already those bits are already getting folded together.
And they're talking about an upgrade for the Red Bull that's going to be serious. Yeah. It's like, that's a bit scary.
Yeah. So
I'm sure everyone's got one.
Yeah. But
when the lead car's in theory going to get a pretty good one too, it's all a bit scary.
The great hope is that this talk about Max going somewhere else, if things don't go certain ways with certain power plays at Red Bull, is potentially what we're hanging our hats on at the moment.
There is clearly so much more to that story that we haven't heard or seen yet.
Yeah.
That's playing in the background, and it's all politics.
Yeah.
There's been a trigger, and Christian's in a bit of trouble for it in theory, probably more at home than anywhere else.
I would think so, yeah.
But, man, the political triggers that have come since is amazing.
And I mean, you know, by the time we've recorded this, but it was another Grand Prix, you know, this weekend as this is going live, things could change fairly rapidly.
Yeah.
They might not as well. If Christian's been nothing but defiant in terms of trying to cling on to what he's got there. So, I mean, I guess if we look at where Sergio kind of lands in the Red Bull, let's call Sergio a very normal Grand Prix driver. Hmm. can win races,
yep, absolutely.
Knows what he's doing. Any notion that he's no good because he struggled last year is nonsense. If Max did go somewhere else with a less dominant car, it could be really fun to watch because if you put normal Grand Prix drivers in the Red Bull,
absolutely.
It kind of brings him back to the pack to some extent. It's just such a perfect storm of a guy that's so incredibly good in such amazing form with a team that's just nailed a car. I've made the comparison before, but it's Scott McLaughlin and the DJR Team Penske car.
Yep, absolutely.
It's a perfect storm of this car is – it's not necessarily – it's obviously an amazing car, but when you put a driver that wants to drive it in that specific way, unstoppable, even across the other side of the garage, like unstoppable.
Yep. Yeah, it's very reminiscent, isn't it? And even, you know, SVG, who's obviously a well above average race car driver.
Correct.
Still, you know, teammates have posed a problem to him occasionally.
For sure. Definitely.
Whereas, that McLaughlin era, boy, oh boy, wowee.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Max.
Yeah. When you can zero in on something that makes you fast and makes the guy on the other side of the garage slow.
Silly. Yep.
It's a pretty fun spot to be in as a race car driver,
but,
I reckon.
But you're right. As fans of the sport,
if
Max was to go somewhere else next year, wow.
Yep.
Like, it's a game on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it shifts things around.
Because there's no one that they can plug into that car that's going to be anything, you know, anywhere near what Max seems to be capable of dragging out of that car.
Yeah. Like I say, Sergio's not a bad benchmark for probably exactly where the car is at. But Max can just take it to a different level because obviously he's got it dialed into what he wants.
20 seconds up the road.
Yeah. We and what he seems to like is, again, to bring the McLaughlin comparison in, is give me all the front end that you've got.
Yep.
I'll worry about the back end. Yep. I'll take care of that.
Yeah, scary. Never have liked a race car like that.
That is a skill that belongs to exceptionally talented people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So back to supercars for a minute. We get to the AGP.
Mm-hmm.
What are we hoping for? What are we expecting? Other than not being able to get into the paddock.
It's always, I can get into the paddock.
Well, you can. You can. I'm not even sure I can, to be fair. I might be riding on your coattails, buddy.
I've got one of those big fancy passes that makes the noise on the when you walk in the FIA.
In that case, I might be getting your green one for the weekend.
All right. I think that something weird always happens at the Grand Prix because the format's weird, the track's weird. There's so much pressure on these time certain races. Thursday night's an evening race, I think.
I
haven't studied the schedule in great detail, but something weird always happens there. So there will be some sort of anomaly, but I reckon that those two Red Bull cars will be still setting the pace, and we can kind of hope. And the other thing is,
we still have
question marks over obviously the Ford engine performance. And Albert Park's not a place where you want to be lacking motor.
No.
And I think we saw – that was last year where I think it really ran. Remembering we'd come from Newcastle last year, not an engine-specific track.
Not an anything track.
No, and that was kind of – and I think the Grand Prix last year was where the Ford guys went, oh, dear.
Yep.
Things are not looking great here because
– particularly the barbecue teams.
Well, yes, that was a whole other separate issue, but But I could make a joke about the injectors being in the right way this time, but I won't.
It's not.
I think that it really highlighted the difference in the cars both. That was the first time that motor really came up as opposed to aero, which given that's quite an aero circuit was interesting when guys were going, oh, I'll get to fourth gear and then watch the car in front of me start pulling away from me. And that shouldn't really happen when I'm sitting in the toe. So
what you're saying is, hopefully Mustangs have got half a chance. I mean, Chaz was all right at Bathurst too, really.
Yeah.
But they clearly had that car set up to be quite different to some of the other Mustang teams.
They did. And
and Chev teams.
And you don't quite have that series of short corners where you can set the car up like that and know that you can, if you can make a gain somewhere, say the start or in a pit stop, that you can kind of defend based on. At the Grand Prix, that's just too wide and too open.
Yep.
Not enough slow stuff to actually set the car up. Like you have to make the car go really fast in a straight line and hang on to its tyres in long corners.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's – and, yeah, I think it's it's going to be an interesting weekend. There'll be the odd outlier, but I think the outliers will probably be potentially Chev teams doing better than they might otherwise do, I think.
Yeah, well, as long as they don't have Red Bull on them, I am easy with that.
That's they're your commercial games to play.
Those, play those political games like in F1.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to my favourite segment of this very new show. It's the first time we've actually done it, but it's still my favourite already. Show us your collections. Remember, if you want to show off your collections, just email us at collections@authenticcollectibles.com.au or share on socials with the hashtag collectauthentic for a chance to appear on the show, which is obviously the greatest prize that there is.
Of course.
And I will also pick the best collection each week to win a $250 gift card for the Authentic Collectibles store.
So who'd you pick this week?
This week it was a pretty easy choice because as you were about to see in the photos, what an amazing collection from Craig Dwyer. Absolutely insane stuff here, as you are hopefully seeing if the producer's done his job and put these photos in. Incredible collection. It's always great when there's a couple of full-size cars in the collection.
Yeah. I do enjoy a one-to-one scale as well as a 1/8.
Yeah, correct. If you scan around the JPM workshop here, he's actually got a one-to-one Donny Schatz sprint car up here with Armoural signage on it, funnily enough. So
as opposed to Boost Mobile hats.
I wonder if Donny wore an Armoural hat the day that he was driving that car. I'm sure he was very happy.
You're just a bit of a shit stirrer, aren't you?
It's a non-story, apparently. Others are telling me.
Well,
Anyway, so congratulations, Craig. That is an absolutely immense collection you've got there, and looking forward to seeing a whole lot more of the collections out there in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Will, this is another one of my favourite segments where I get to shut up for a moment and you can tell us all about the new releases you've got, the stuff that's available right now, the stuff that we can actually get our hands on. What do you got?
So only a couple this month. If you recall, last month I said that we'd had a container come and arrived just before Christmas.
I saw the container.
You did see the container, yep. And you saw how much stock I had in my warehouse. Mm-hmm. So this month, a little bit lighter on, Chinese New Year, kind of everything slows down a little bit. So we've got a couple of our DNA models.
Cool.
What are DNA models, you ask? So
I was about to. I was getting there.
So we've got our DNA of ZB. Mm-hmm. Commodore,
yep.
And DNA of the Mustang. So just our sort of homage, I guess, to the ZB and to the Mustang, the Gen 2 Mustang, mm-hmm. I should add. So the ZB was designed by Pete Hughes.
Yep.
So those of you in the know that Pete, long-term employee of General Motors Holden, designing the VE and VF mm-hmm. and a few other bits and pieces. So and has done most of the liveries for supercar or the Holden side of the fence, for several years. So, so Pete, we work quite closely with, and so he's
decent
designed,
bloke to be working with.
Absolutely.
Such things,
absolutely. So he's designed up the ZB livery for us. So as I say, bit of an homage to the brand and to the model. Data on number of wins and poles mm-hmm. and all those sorts of things on that, and then also on our DNA of Mustang.
Yep.
So DNA of Mustang we've done internally with Tristan, our head honcho designer, who
decent designer as well.
Yeah, he goes all right. We can't give him too big a head, but does a fantastic job for us. So he's done the Mustang one. So ZB you can get in 18th and 1/43 scale.
Yep.
And the Mustang just in 1/18 scale. So pick those up on our website or at your nearest authentic stockist.
Mm. Would have been nice if you could have got Shree Packham, who designed the Gen 2 Mustang, to can you just get the files of the one where the end plates go down to the bottom of the diffuser?
I may also have that data, and I may have also seen the car in that spec as well, which not too many people have. That was a bit of a weapon. That would have been good.
I don't think you're meant to admit that it ever existed. But
no, of course it didn't.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing that I should just circle mm-hmm. back on, speaking of Tristan, speaking of designs internally,
yep.
There's our imagination project.
Yep.
So our imagination project is a little bit of a, I guess it's in the title, isn't it? It's coming from the imagination of all sorts of designers, but in particular Tristan in our office.
Yep.
So he's done a pretty spectacular FGX. So just recently announced. So as a part of our program, we've kind of get a few designers to come in and do a few different liveries. Frank from R-Star, who does a lot of the helmets, has done one for us.
Yeah, cool.
Tristan's done a Bluebird that'll come to market fairly shortly.
Yep.
So check out our website for our latest announcements. You'll see one of the FGXs from Tristan, and also a couple of our sort of older liveries on newer bodies.
I do like what's going on there. Are we talking about them or?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got an Ambrose Pertec Falcon on a FGX body,
mm-hmm.
and the old Kmart livery from Murph on a VF.
Is that so, Lap of the Gods?
Yes.
All right, you can put me down for one of those, thank you.
I thought you might. You might have to wait till they're in the warehouse. But yeah, just reimagining older liveries on the more current body shapes.
Cool. It's cool. I know there'll be the odd traditionalists out there that might not love it, but I mean, just head to their website and have a look at it, because once you see it, you go, yeah, okay, I see what you're doing here.
Yeah.
This is kind of cool.
And it's kind of cool.
I need one of these.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's time to move on to some of your questions. And remember, if you do want to ask us questions, and by us, I do mean him, because you're going to want to know about models.
No. The general motorsport questions too can be asked of you.
True. No, feel free, ask away. But we all know that the models is what people are probably tuning in for mostly here. Anyways, just, you know, leave questions in comments and we'll definitely get around to them. Let's start with a question from Too Many Enemies 64.
What a solid username.
I like it. He's either doing something right or something wrong, that bloke, if he's got too many enemies.
Either way.
He asks, or he or she, I shouldn't make any assumptions here, with limited run models that, you know, where it states X out of 1,500, whatever, how many models are actually produced? Will?
The number on the card.
Okay.
So if it's 1,000.
You commit to it?
Yep. So if it's 1,000, it's 1,000. If it's 216, it's 216.
Mm-hmm.
Small caveat, obviously there is a decorated sample that we get. There's a couple of production samples that we get for mm-hmm. licensing purposes. But effectively, if it's 216, there are 216 cars available for you to buy.
You don't make me an extra one to tuck away in the office?
Absolutely not.
That is a shame. Anyway, okay, let's move on to...
You take them anyway. It's not like I need a special one for you. You just come shopping through the warehouse, as you said in the first episode.
It's my favourite way to go shopping. The old five-finger discount.
Yeah.
Well, I think that will just about do us for episode 2 of Role Models.
We made it.
We did make it.
We got to the end.
Thank you for trekking all the way out to Serpentine, Will.
It's not that far.
This is kind of my hood, but it's a bit of a trek for you. So
only 15, 20 minutes for the office, so it's not too bad.
You're right. And thank you very much to Jason Pride and the crew here at JPM for giving us the access. It's cool to come on location and sit here and have all these fun things all around us.
We might go back to the aircon for the next one.
I think so. The camera might
handle it a bit better.
It's quite warm here. We will be back in the next couple of weeks with another episode. Make sure you hit us up on the socials. Let us know what you'd like to talk about. Keep your questions coming through. Show us your collections. Make sure you're looking out for that code word. We really appreciate the engagement. That's what collecting's all about. That's the fun thing about it.
Absolutely. Don't forget to like and subscribe and hit the notification bell and all those things that we're meant to say on these YouTube videos.
All the things I always forget. So thanks for filling the void there, Will.
I'll catch up.
Thanks very much for watching. We'll be back in a few weeks.
Cheers.